So I'm going to teach us on hearing God's voice. In there we shall have elements, and maybe it's a foundation of how to function in the gifts of prophecy, or to speak to one another by the Spirit. Okay, so hearing God's voice. So today we'll carry a lot of the aspect of individual, primarily me, before we move into ministering the same to one another. And hopefully as I teach along, we'll have some moments to put to practice what we are being instructed. Amen? Are you excited? So when we talk about hearing God's voice, the idea of hearing God's voice can sound mysterious, right? And perhaps we can think of it as requiring some kind of special skill, or that it is reserved for a specific group of people, a select few. In fact, some use it to control others or to exercise some kind of superiority over everybody else, because they have capacity to hear God and others apparently do not have. The truth, however, is far from that. The voice of God is more personal and accessible than perhaps some care to even imagine. When it comes to hearing God, it's not about mastering some special technique. In all truthfulness, it's actually about mastering, or let me not use mastering yet. It's a natural result that follows a friendship with Yahweh. It's a natural result of a friendship with God. Everybody needs to hear God's voice. Jesus, who we all know was fully God, when he was a man on earth, he depended on God's voice. John chapter 5 verse 19, he says, I only do what I see my Father doing. He said what he had his Father saying. So Jesus, as an example of perfect humanity, represented or demonstrated the importance of actively hearing God's voice. Now, we have said the foundation of this is really a friendship with God. How many of you have close friends? How many of you have close friends? Anybody has a close friend? Okay, the rest don't have. Now, if you have a close friend, you can recognize your friend's voice in a multitude of voices, right? You understand their personalities. You share your life's conversation. Sometimes you can even finish each other's sentences. That's the power of friendship. Friendship with God will lead us to that level of comfort of recognizing God's voice. And that level of friendship will facilitate an ongoing relationship with Yahweh, an ongoing conversation with Yahweh up to the end. How many of you have close friends and your friendship has an expiry date? You're thinking, man, in 5 years we are not going to be close friends. Nobody thinks like that. You even think even in heaven you're going to be neighbors, right? Exactly. So the journey to the recognition of God's voice begins with understanding of that particular truth. God wants to be known. God wants to be related with. God wants to have an active relationship with us. Again, unfortunately, sometimes our relationship with God has been curated in such a way that it is one-sided. Right? We relate with God. We come to prayer. Every time we come to prayer, we just mumble. We even say, how many of you go to speak to your friend and say, today I have only 1 hour with you? Right? Do you do that with your friend? I have 20 minutes. Let's talk for 20 minutes. And you're always what? Checking. But, you know, sometimes we say prayer is talking to God. I am a friend of God. But when I go to talk to God, I do the talking. God does the listening and is supposed to execute. Not that kind of thing. But God wants us to be his friends. You go to John chapter 15, verse 15. John chapter 15, verse 15. King James says, henceforth I call you not servants, for servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, made known unto you. So no longer do I call you servants in the ESV, for the servants do not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So when we're going to talk about learning to hear God's voice, we're going to do this in different sections. The first section we're going to look at is the invitation. The invitation. And you're going to realize that the invitation to hear God's voice is an invitation to everyone. It was everyone. Everyone. Now, under the old covenant, Yahweh still desired everyone to hear him. Yahweh still desired everyone to know him. But what often happened is God would typically speak through a prophet or a priest. Isn't it? Right? So God would communicate his will. He would communicate to his people through a prophet or a priest. But you know, as time, you know, went on, you have prophets in the entire period of the First Testament until the coming of Jesus, right? Jesus now represented the voice of the Father. The writer of Hebrews says God was sundry times. Can we just read that? Hebrews 1:1. Is it? Long ago, and many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. So now, Jesus now comes and represents the voice of God to his time. To his generation, he speaks to the people as God. But then Jesus, you know, will die and resurrect. But before he dies, some of his last speeches with his disciples says, you know, it's expedient that I go away. It's good that I go away. Because they are worried. Now, if you go away, you are the voice of God. You represent God to us. What shall we do? He said, I'll send someone else. I'll send the Spirit. And that Spirit will remind you and will tell you everything concerning myself. And I'll give you those verses. Then what happens? He tells them, you know, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the Spirit. So when the Spirit of God comes, which according to the Bible is called like the New Testament time. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, at the day of Pentecost. We have this sort of radical shift in how God speaks to his people. Right? We are moved from sparse or scarce revelation of Yahweh. Even from Jesus, who couldn't be everywhere, even if he was the perfect voice of Yahweh, to now the Spirit of God in each and every individual. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Peter, preaching from the prophecy or the promise of Yahweh through the prophet Joel, in the inauguration of the kingdom of God, he says this, Acts 2:17, in the last days, or we say the last days. I have told you the last days began with the coming of Jesus Christ. So every period after that is called the last days. In the last day it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. What will be the result? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, who shall prophesy in the advent of the Spirit? The prophets? The men of God? Who shall prophesy? All flesh. Now, here's what you need to correct in your understanding. This prophecy, or this invitation in the last days, is not only for receiving divine information. You know, sometimes people can settle to just being mere conduits or mere users of the things of the Spirit. Okay? It's not strictly an invitation for you to be like a medium. But really, what also came with the Spirit of God in all flesh is a transformation of a prayer life. In that, the prayer life ought to have moved from a mere monologue. You know monologue? A monologue means one person is speaking. The opposite of that would be a dialogue. Okay? So, we're moving from a monologue into a dynamic conversation between Yahweh and us. It is a way of deepening our friendship with God in a way that perhaps may not have been possible in times past. So again, I'm asking, how have you used the coming of the Spirit in you or to you? Have you used it to just continue this monologue? You know, think about a man like Daniel. Daniel went to pray. He prayed to Yahweh. He's praying because he has understood from the books. But he has to wait for a response. But do you know the Spirit of God in you and me presents an opportunity for us to have an active, present, immediate conversation with Yahweh, with Jesus, or with the Spirit of God? And sadly, many of us have not yet either experienced or taken advantage of that possibility in the new covenant. Oh, what a robbery. Because we've been taught prayer one way. It's a way which is supposed to deepen our friendship with God. Every believer, every man or woman, young or old, has been given direct access to hear God's voice. So I have direct access to hear God's voice. I can hear God's voice. Every person, he says, the prophet said, sons and daughters should prophesy. Dreams. Everybody is in the family of God is equipped with the ability to have a conversational relationship with Yahweh. Now, of course, there is such a thing as the gift of prophecy. There may be such a thing as people who are prophets. But the ability to prophesy or the ability to hear God's voice is not exclusive to those. Sometimes the word we use, those who are in the office of prophets. Amen. Every believer is invited to hear God's voice for their own life. Now, again, don't mistake what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that I go home and I hear God for myself. Because you have heard again some people arguing that online. That's why I don't go to any pastor. I sit home. The Bible says everybody can hear. That's not what it means. It's much more of having a vital relationship between Father and Son. Amen. So just because you had your father or your parent at home doesn't mean you never went to school because you have a parent. Doesn't mean you never learned from anyone just because you had a parent. Okay, that example may be inferior, but you get what I'm trying to say. Again, I would like to say, ability to hear God's voice is not some advanced future that comes sometime in the future of your walk with God. As soon as you're born again with the capacity to hear God. Do you know they say something? That babies, even while they are still in their parents' womb, they can recognize their parents' voices. Do you know that scientifically? And a young baby who cannot speak understands the parents' voice. Okay? So you're born again with capacity, with ability to hear your father. So, the voice is available. The issue is usually how to hear it. How to lean and listen to what Yahweh is saying. In a multitude of voices, how do I pick out my Father's voice? So let's talk about it. As we have said, this is really about, okay, the level of clarity, the level of comfort you're going to have with God's voice is going to depend on how you cultivate intimacy and friendship with God. As you grow closer to God, I'll show you how, communication becomes a natural and expected part of your walk with Him. As you grow closer to God, communication becomes natural. It becomes an expected part of your walk with Him. Again, the same way you don't, if you are going to meet your best friend, you don't first prepare what you are going to say. You just get it. You can flow. There is no awkwardness, so to speak. So again, sometimes this is the issue. The issue is sometimes we are teaching people to hear God's voice. Give them 3 steps. This is how you judge what God is saying. Even the devil hears when you're telling them. And you also can't set those 3 steps. Meanwhile, it is about knowing God. Okay? It is about knowing God. Don't say God speaks in soprano. Don't God speaks Hebrew. God's, it is about knowing Him. So that if He speaks Lugwere, you can hear Him. You can know that's God. Amen. So you're supposed to cultivate intimacy. So in intimacy, you're growing in your knowledge of God. You're growing in your spending time with God. Say, I need to spend time with God to recognize His voice. I'll tell you, familiar spirits have lied to people. Because people don't know God. Amen. The goal is not to receive information, but to know the one who speaks. Can I say it again? The goal is not to receive information, but to know the one who speaks. Sometimes people do all these things. You say, I have five people prescribe things like this. There's something factual, but it can be dangerous. He says, if you want to hear God's voice, take a 3-day fast. Go away from your home. Go somewhere. Seclude yourself. Don't do anything. Don't eat anything. In 3 days, on the 3rd day, God will speak to you. No, and many times you hear people prescribe it. It's a very dangerous way. You see that Proverbs 18? And remember it in one of the beams. You want to read it again? Some of you thought it was a positive proverb. Until now, some people think it's a positive proverb. Through desire. Of course, the King James, the way it renders it. Let's start from the King James. So they, even in my Bible here, my old Bible, King James says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermediateth with all wisdom. But I can do the other one as your verse. A man separates himself. And I see here before you use it. What did you think? That you thought that, okay, a man can desire God, isolate himself, and then their wisdom you get through separation, right? Well, guess what it actually means? You do it in ESV. You have it? Let me even get LEB. One who has isolated himself seeks on his own desires. He rejects all sound judgment. ESV says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. So, isolation, they call it asceticism. They used to, some things called like, monasticism, isolation, to go in secluded places. Now, when you do that, you can open yourself to a world you have no familiarity with. And there are many spirits in that world. Well, let me say there are different spirits in that world. And you need to recognize God's voice there. That's why people go and they dream and they see that their wife is a witch. And they come back and the wife they have had for 18 years, they chase them. That is where familiar spirits deceive certain prophets from. Because whereas the prophet has capacity to break into that world, they don't have the knowledge of Yahweh to discern His voice amidst the voices. Again, like I said, it shouldn't be scary. The goal is to know God. When you know God, you can recognize His voice. So what people do, they go to look for a voice. Yet they're supposed to cultivate a friendship with God. Especially when you're dealing with a God who speaks very softly. And I'll show you this. God's speech is often not very loud. Can we continue? So as you grow closer to Him, the communication will become natural. And it will become an expected part of your walk with Him. I'm telling you, it's the difference between even sometimes going in a supermarket and you're looking for something and you just hear a voice tell you, take this aisle. Some of the things you may think are simple or mundane, the Holy Spirit can intervene in those seemingly mundane things, but there's a reason why He's doing that. Again, it's not an advanced feature of Christianity. It's part of our lives. It's part of our identity. And we need to accept this invitation by Yahweh into friendship with Him. Did you read John 15? I spoke about it. Did you open? My friends, what? Hear my voice and they know what I'm doing. I think I said John 15:15, right? Did we read? Yeah? Friends, eh? I never call you servants, I call you friends. Because servant does not know what his master is doing or what his Lord is doing. But what are some of the simple things we can do? For instance, we can ask. Ask God. Ask God for the gift. You can just simply ask. Say, Yahweh, I want to hear you today. How many of you do that? I do that sometimes in prayer. I need specific direction. I say, God, tell me. Help me. But also, you can ask for specific gifts of the Spirit. I also like to correct something. I mean, I know I said this thing sometime, but maybe you didn't hear it. Maybe I stand to be corrected. It's not as though if you say, if you needed the gift of prophecy, but asked God for, God needs to be very specific. Do you want prophecy or you want interpretation of tongues? Very clear. Which one is it? I told you, when we are praying the scriptures, when we are praying, the reason we don't pray the scriptures so that we tell God His word. Like he doesn't know it. He says, she did it to your server. You know, sometimes we tell people to pray the word. The praying the word, like I was praying the word here. I'm just It helps me know the will of God so that I pray it, so that I even know I can pray it. But when I've also prayed and I know it's the will of God, it also increases my confidence in prayer. And John in his epistle has told us that confidence is very critical in prayer. You get it? So how do I get confidence to ask for something if I don't know if it's within the purview of asking? So when I have the word of God, it helps to give me what to pray for and even how to pray about it. Like I learned how to pray imprecation or lament from the Psalms. I didn't know it was possible. I thought when you tell God those things, you are in unbelief. So now I can know how to pray. When I'm in any season I'm in, and I don't feel like I have to pretend to God. So that's the essence of learning the word. It's not that I'm telling God what he has forgotten. So which way is it in my word? Show it to me. And you show him. It's like, hey, orimutuofu. So, did you know you can ask God for a gift? You can't? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, Yahweh, the Spirit distributes as he wills. Yes, that's true. Right? But in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul tells us to covet, to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, and it says, especially that you may prophesy. Like, you know, I can, you know, like today I was praying earlier. I said, God, I want to pray for, I want to minister to so and so. Show me something about them. So this is me desiring by a prophecy, or sorry, desiring the Spirit of God to show me something about someone that I can edify them. So, even when we are going to pray for each other, I can desire the gift of prophecy. I can desire. Now, if you don't know which particular one it is, you can say, Holy Spirit, give me the gift of knowing what to tell this person that is in their life. Like I said, the important thing is you're vocalizing your desire about it. Don't say how. What does the gift do? Let me ask Yahweh for that. It's simple that God, speak to me now. I need to hear your voice. In your personal life, I need to hear your voice on this matter. Amen. So, our desire and our asking are a vital part of the process. If you want to hear God's voice, begin by telling him. Your sincere requests opens the door for him to work. I don't know about you. Like I said, you know, parenting just teaches you certain things about I feel good when my son asks me to help him. Daddy, help me with this. I feel good. I don't know. I feel good. Right? Maybe also God is like that. That's why he insists on us asking. Right? You know, there's something, there's a way it feels when your child comes to request something from you. So somebody may say, but why, if God knows all things, why does he keep asking us to ask him? I mean, you're God, just look around. Read the room. Try this. Again, I say, some of our Pentecostalism has complicated these things. There's complicated prayer. Some of you don't even know how to pray simply. Because I told you the prayer has to be heavy. It has to be filled with jargon. Ye are God. The beginning, the end. Alpha and Omega. Lord, you're the Greek letter. You're the one. Like, we come with all jargon. The monarch. Something. For thy are thy. Hey! What about. It's simple. Father, I desire to hear your voice. Simple. Father, I desire to hear your voice. Please open my spiritual ears and teach me to recognize you. What a powerful prayer. Father, I desire to hear your voice. Please open my ears to hear you. Help me. Teach me to recognize you. I give you permission to speak in my life. Again, like I'm saying, some of us were a bit, there was an overemphasis in how they taught us to pray. You go, what you are requesting God for, you're telling him you have it. You want to hear God's voice. You can't say, Father, I hear your voice. I know you. I can never, me, your voice and me, we are like this. I hear you. I hear you everywhere. I hear you when I hear you when my ears are closed. I hear you. And the Father is asking, is he asking me to and then people say, I've prayed. They're just going to go to brag what they need to ask from him. So imagine you're also going to your father, Daddy, I have school fees. Oh, it is paid. It is paid. I have all my school, all the things I need to go to school. I have them. I have everything for this education. I have a geometry set. Do they still use sets? Do they still use it? Oxford. There was a time Oxford was the epitome. The Oxford was the iPhone. Please, leave all this drama. And stop looking at some people praying. Because they have taught you bad manners. You don't know how to pray. But you have spent 4 hours in courts praying. Meanwhile, you are just there doing like this. we traveled. Some people, it's because you're young, you have energy. I see how people, they are doing themselves like this. I said, these guys have bucks. Like, I need to stretch my back. Somebody's like... that's why some people will get tired. They grow weary after 5 years. Nobody can pray like that for 10 years. When you have a job, you're working the whole day. You can't come back home and say, it's because you are free. Some people, you can. Anyway, lest you say fail. So cultivate. So, see, can you make the prayer? Say, Father, I desire to hear your voice. Please open my spiritual ears and teach me to recognize you. I give you permission to speak into my life. Amen. So when we're talking about developing a genuine friendship with God, it is going to revolutionize your prayer. These days I doze less in my prayer times. Less and less and less and less. Friendship. I'm not, and I can be there. I start with a psalm. I sing a bit. I pray. I go into tongues. I vocalize. There's no pressure. I can stop and write down something I feel like is telling me. I can stop earlier. I can stop later. So, I feel if it becomes burdensome, again, I'm so much about sustainability and consistency. There's power in those things. But for some of us, the way we have set up our devotion with God, we're setting ourselves up for burnout. We're setting ourselves up for failure. Because life can get difficult. Life can get complicated. Life can get disappointing. If your prayer life is built on the wrong foundation, it will fall. I put something on my status today about prayer. How many of you read it? You read it? Maybe you remind me, I'll share it with our page. Very true. The lady who wrote that book is a quadriplegic. They call them what? Quadriplegic. She can't move her limbs and she has been living in pain for the last 40 years of her life. But she's one of the most powerful Christian authors you'll ever find. She's written many wonderful books on suffering and so on and so forth. Wonderful woman. She's a woman of God. And she, as a young lady, she fell and broke her limb. I think injured her spine, so she's been confined to a wheelchair all those days. But my God, she's a woman of God. When she talks about friendship with God and trusting God no matter what, you listen. So, when we cultivate this friendship with God, when we spend time with Him, we're opening ourselves up to hear His voice much more clearly, or to recognize His voice, because it's familiar. He's not a stranger. God entrusts His secrets to His friends. God entrusts His secrets to His friends. We just read that in John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. Why? Friendship is invitation to know His will. Friendship is invitation to know His heart. Remember the Old Testament? What it said about Abraham and Moses? Exodus 33:11. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. What a commendation. That's what he says. Exodus 33:11. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now, face there, of course, the Hebrew for face, panim, speaks about presence. In other words, it means God was there with Moses. The face speaks of a presence of a person. Genesis 18:17-19. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? I mean, the angels of Yahweh couldn't help himself. He wants to go and execute judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, but he says, nah, not without telling my guy. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Later in verse 9 says, for I have chosen him. That's a friend of God. I want to be a friend of God. Do you want to be a friend of God? So spend time with him. The prophets of the Old Testament were called friends of God. And in the context of that friendship, he revealed his plans to them. Listen to this. And I really want you to start doing this in your own private. Some of you tell me I've missed 3 days, I've missed 4 days. This week, that week, I'm going to show you how to fix it. When you shift your focus from performance to friendship, prayer becomes less of a monologue and more of an ongoing conversation. Building the intimacy required to recognize God's voice. There's a very old man. Do you know, guys? Can I say it again? When you shift your focus from performance to friendship, especially when it comes to prayer, prayer becomes less more of a monologue and more of an ongoing conversation. Building the intimacy required to recognize his voice. As you grow with the Lord genuinely, as you grow to learn him and understand him, your prayer life is going to change. But you need to move from performance. Move to friendship. You remember performance? But you know, the truth is performance can carry you at a certain time. I understand. Because it carried me for a while. Performance, I mean every day I must do 3 hours in tongues. Isn't it? Anybody ever had that? Susan, I'm 10 seconds. If the nations will break and open for you, you must travail before God 6 hours. Okay, 6 hours is good for nations, God. So you every day you're praying, you're angrier. Then what it does, it makes people more boastful. Then you start to look at everyone else like they try not to have a gamba. You can't get anything from them because they have not labored in a place. They have not stayed with God long enough for him to melt their heart to become his other man. Isn't it? That's why sometimes you find such people devalue other people. They can't respect you until they know what you're... Until you tell them, I've been fasting for the last 2 years. They say, sir. So we just keep holding all these things like our accolades. People are praying and they are recording videos of themselves to put on their status. Rose Simuseko at 3. No posting. So everything becomes performative. Now, a lot of the breed of Christianity that many of us have been exposed to, I'm speaking about what is popular especially this side of Africa, with what we see, has been a little bit of that. So you find that you have people who are praying, but they are very selfish. They want to break the realms. They want power to flow with them. However, imagine we put ourselves in God's shoes. You know very well that Sister Tezra is here for power. So every day for the next 21 days, she comes seeking for power. Now, is that person praying because they are devoted to the Lord? Or because they are performing and they are seeking for something? Amen. Some people have killed themselves saying, God, I will not eat until you show yourself. There's one who was narrating his story how the Lord rebuked him. Ulimusiru. This one was narrating his story. Ulimusiru, gena mangoliye. Right here, if you said, I'm going to die here. Yeah. You know, God is not like us, eh? And some of us have already learned that. Otherwise, when we go to pray to Him, we'll be more humble. We'll say, God, help me. But also, you, God, help me. You know, you, like those emotions will come to you in the place of prayer if you recognize that this is God and you are you. Some people think if I threaten God, like, there are things God can't deny. A 21-day fast. Again, we'll call it. How many of you have ever done a fast and nothing happened after the fast? For some of us are better, we create something else. Yeah, I say. Now, fasting is good. Fasting is great. I fast. But we need to reorder all these priorities. We need to reorder. Now, there's even a place of fasting where you just want clarity. Like you need an answer for something. You want clarity. You take some day. You take a day or some days off without food. Okay? There's a place for that. But you cannot think somehow you have brought some kind of formula which God cannot deny. Let me tell you something. God can decide to keep quiet. We know later, it's Mama Joe. Sometimes they can speak to you when you're eating. Amen. We really need to go back to letting God be God. And we are like subjects who have been given the privilege to be sons. But it's a privilege. And it's not our right. Even though that God can say, you know, these are your rights as my son, as my daughter. If I am to demand anything from the Lord, it's because the Lord has allowed me to demand said thing from Him. Do you get the difference? Like I said, for instance, in His word, if He tells me, tell me about this, I can tell Him because He has granted me, access and opportunity according to His word to do so. It also helps us to know that God maintains the right to do as He chooses. It's humbling, but it's important. God can still do as you are, and it is there in the Bible. I have a book I was reading today. Somebody asked a very powerful question. Can I say it? Sometimes these things I bring in, like these are the ones which you may remain with. Very powerful question. There are questions that we will never get answers for until we are in heaven. I'm telling you. And with those questions, and God can answer something else very trivial, like should I buy red or blue? And then you have this existential question, and he keeps quiet and he continues doing other things around you. Many of us haven't been told about a God like that. We've been told about a God who is in our image, who we move around. We even have the audacity to say, if God does not move, I'll move him. You know, some people are just arrogant to never acknowledge that actually they have ever tried to move him and he doesn't move. God can shock you. Someone brought it to my attention. I don't know how true this is. Maybe someone may verify. He told me God gave Hagin, Brother Hagin, a very powerful healing ministry. You know Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. But he left him with some kind of infirmity on his hand. I don't know. I listened to a lot of Brother Hagin, but I don't remember hearing that story. But apparently he had like a lame hand. And God said, I won't heal it. But this man could heal everyone. You can ask. You can build a theology. Right. But God knows us. He knows if all the possibilities that they are, if we had them in our lives. Isn't it true? You know, some of the men of God do abuse us. Isn't it because they have seen some mercy of God? And then they come and tell us, throw enough. Did God call you really? The reason they tell us that, why? Because they have some money, right? And some. I imagine they had everything at their disposal. Imagine they also didn't have things which pain them and there's nothing they can do. Those things remind them to totally watch it. So, friendship with God. Try to build it within your daily devotion. You're cultivating a friendship with God. I always tell you, say some prayers at least with your understanding. Amen. I know you have learned how to. Do you know? Today I was speaking in tongues sometime. I'd actually gone out to do like a meditational kind of devotional walk. And I was doing it, I was thinking of certain things concerning the word. And when I started speaking in tongues, can you imagine? I started thinking about basketball in my head. I was thinking about tomorrow, they are playing at the, I don't think I'll watch it stealthily. And then I went back to understanding. Because I need, isn't it? But you know, many of us, it doesn't bother us. After all, Paul said, when I speak in tongues, my spirit prayeth, but my mind is unfruitful. Even if it goes this way, you don't mind. After Paul said what? He speak. I am communing with God. But you see, what is communion which is one-sided? If my mind cannot perceive. Think about it. I'm thinking about the word. I'm thinking about what, you know. I want to meditate. I want to pray. I want to ask God things. I want to hear him speak to my mind back. If my mind has gone to basketball, it has defeated the purpose.
Kale ne yange gena ku basketball kati gwe ye genda. Don't answer.
But it should bother us but that somehow that has become okay with us. What if we went into Hebrew thought, whereby the mind is the heart? It would mean actually, I am praying to God in quotes, but what is in my heart is this. Oof. And I'm so glad it disturbed me. But I was not okay to let it go. You too, as you pray, as you speak in tongues, don't be satisfied with your mind always being unfruitful. Paul didn't mean that your mind is thinking about katogo or kasavai. That's not what he meant by your mind is unfruitful. He meant that in that moment your mind may not know what this utterance in the spirit is. He didn't say you let your mind just go far. What kind of praying is that then? Again, unless you think prayer is monologue. But if this is something I want to speak to God, I want to hear God, I want to talk to God, I want to know what God is saying, then it shouldn't be okay that your mind is unfruitful. Can I stop there or we? I don't think we'll finish it. But let me just give you some practical steps so that you can use them. So how do I learn to listen? What you're trying to develop is like how you'd learn to hear someone's voice over a crowded phone call. It may be difficult at first to distinguish, but with time and practice, you'll become attuned to the voice of God, to the tone of God. Think of listening to God as a skill, and with the skills you perfect with practice. Intentional practice. Learning to hear God's voice or recognizing God's voice is going to be a practical journey. And it must begin with small steps, simple steps. Okay? So you're going to create, or you're going to create, or you're going to learn how to listen to God's voice. How do you do that? One, you create space to listen. You ask and you create space to listen. How do I create that space? Initially, again, as I'm learning, as I'm developing this capacity, find a quiet space. Katiavata quietness in security. Find a what? A quiet space. For me, part of quietness also means dark. I feel like when I'm praying, darkness is quietness. Now, you may not be like me. Maybe for you, if you're in a dark place, you just start fearing everything. Take a kwama tala go. Right? Find a quiet space. You're giving undivided attention. Think about a place where you could hear your own voice. Right? And that's why I love nights. That's why nights are good. You are in a space where you could hear your own voice. Remove external distractions. Now the hard part is going to be stealing your internal noise. Do you know that's usually the hard one, right? The internal noise that comes from inside. From my mind, I think especially ladies, they say your brains work. At least for us men, there's a time every day where our brain is inert. It's not doing any work except keeping us alive, controlling our breathing and I think women can't. Somebody said, okay, they can. You can practice to keep quiet and not think about what the people will eat tomorrow. And how the people will eat tomorrow can tie into the investment you are making, and how the office work is not finished, and I left the clothes in the sink. That is a woman's mind. Remove external distractions. Now, if you have not yet conquered the phone, let me give you the key. Is this. When you are going to do this and spend time with God, leave your phone in another room. Leave your phone in another. Tojiraba, don't look. Not looking at it. These phones, they have profiles which can kill notifications. If your other room is that room, it's also okay. So if your other room is that room, you can do DNT. There are many modes actually. There are modes which only allow only my wife's phone call to come through. I need to change that, especially at night. Because I'm a pastor. People can need you in the night. If your other room is that room, put it under something and cover it. But far. Whereby, to get it, it takes work for effort for you to move from where you are to get it. So I was reading Tyler Staton's book on prayer. What was it called? Is it Living Like a Monk? Something like that. Praying Like a Monk? Something like that. On prayer. Of course, his prayer thing he was teaching starts with silence. So he said, try, because many of you have not practiced silence. When you wake up, then before you do anything, set a 5-minute alarm. Not alarm, stop clock, is it? Was it called? Stop clock, countdown clock, whatever it is, 5 minutes. Reach and don't say anything for those first 5 minutes. Be in silence. But diagama mukamanzi. Silence. In the same sentence. Mama nyirobo chaina bathroom. Mara mama mama mama. Because like I said, that thing has taken away mindfulness from some of you in your prayer time. Otandikirawo. Oh, you can start with thank you, Jesus. Thank you, yeah. For me, I sometimes thank you, Jesus, because you woke me up. Because I'm here this morning. And I've set up my prayer place very well. Every morning where I perform. Don't pray everywhere. And at all time. If you're developing good habits, why you're going to attach the specialness. Again, if your room is the other room, find a place in that room where you do that prayer. Have a prayer cushion. I pray from down. Prayer cushion, set it and go there. Set my laptop. Phones are the other side, but me, phones is no longer an issue. I conquered that one when I'm praying, at least. Or I put it on charge on the other socket, the other side. Start. Stays now, I read a psalm or something like that. You know. Depending on what I'm doing that morning. But some of you learn to keep quiet. Now, of course, for silence, I think Tyler Sutton's argument was, let the first thoughts of your prayer at least be given to you by God. That was part of the mindset of it. Okay? But if you want to also develop a culture of learning to keep quiet, you can do that every day. Say you start with 5 minutes, you can go to 10 minutes. But there's a time you're going to reach in your prayer where you're comfortable And you can pray and go into silence. You sing, you go into silence. You read the psalm, you go into silence, you pray. You go. It becomes devotional. You go into tongues, you can pace in the house, you can sit again, you can talk. You can kneel, I kneel, I do all the positions. Kneel, sit, lie. Rarely in my personal prayer am I walking around. It could happen, but sometimes I go to the balcony very early in the morning. It says that the dogs, when they sense someone, they start to bark. That's why I can't overuse the balcony. But it's a very good place. It has air. The problem is I can see people who are coming back late at night. Not like those people who are going back home from drinking. How can people live like that? Okay. Matthew 6:6. When you pray, Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Praise the Lord. Your Father who is in secret will reward you. Next, after finding a quiet place, what do you do? Pray a simple prayer. Pray a simple prayer. Okay, so I found my quiet place. Remember, I'm shutting myself in. Sometimes that shutting yourself in can be within yourself. Like I said, you also, the silence will also help you to learn how to quiet what I call the internal noise. Okay, pray a simple prayer, a simple heartfelt request. So we're talking about hearing God. Eh? Tell God what you want to hear from Him. You can say, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your voice. Please, would you speak to me? And don't first reply yourself. When pressure is over, it means you reply. Remember what you were talking like? When you're leading a cell group, don't ask your own questions. You will say, God, speak to me. Nkulinze dobozi lyo. You know, like I said, like for something like set the stop clock. Those 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes are going to feel like an hour. For some of you of silence. So what do you do? Thirdly, you wait in expectation. Listening is an active process. Okay. Listening is what? It's an active process. So after you ask, quiet your thoughts and wait with an expectant heart. Quiet your thoughts and wait with an expectant heart. Now it's critical here. Do not think every thought you get is from God. But also don't assume He won't speak. So next week I'll give you some of the ways you can. I'm going to give you some of the steps to discern from what you see. So what do you do? Wait in expectation. Psalm 62 verse 5. The psalmist models this posture. A patient expectation. Psalm 62 verse 5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him.
Another song we sang.
Linda Katonda.
Many of us need to learn how to wait on God.
Again, like I said, the more you do this, there are some prayer times which you will just come to wait on God. You just come to what? We're there and you're waiting on God. And you only speak as you feel you're being moved to.